3, the book of James. Let's read a verse over there. I think my wife read it on Sunday. I'd like to read it to you. James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Let's see it in NLT and then Message Bible. Let's do it. Okay. Take a look. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it. See that? Prove it by going about arguing the Bible. Prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. Let's look at Message Bible. What did it say, Message Bible? Let's wait for the Message Bible. Do you want to be counted wise to build a reputation for wisdom? Here's what you do. Live well, live wisely, and live humbly. It's the way you live, not the way you talk, that counts. Isn't that beautiful? Praise God. So we're talking about practical living. Give us again A to Z on practical living. So this is what we are doing. So he said, live life well, live wisely, and so we've done letter A to letter G, right? We've done letter A, we assume ability, right? We assume, no matter what you are going to do, if you don't get up, you should not be waiting for somebody to direct you and move you. The Bible says, go to the ant, you sluggard, learn from his ways. They don't have chief, they don't have overseer, and they get their job done. So that is important, to assume, to take charge, to get up, not to wait for somebody to kind of push you to action. Okay, second one is what? I'm not hearing your voice. Blessing. What's the blessing? The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich and hearts no sorrow. So one must be expecting the blessing of God in life. You should be looking forward to God helping you, blessing upon you and upon those who belong to you and upon all that you do. The Bible said that the blessing of the Lord was upon Joseph and everything he did, even concerning Potiphar. That means that even we as Christians, if you are working for anybody, they should get blessed through our lives. And next one is what? Creativity. And the next one is what? Discernment. Disquietness. You know, I have more than one word for each letter. I'm just trying to manage which one we can use for practical living. And then we have emotional agility. That means that you should be able to drag yourself out of any situation and do what you need to do. And not just let it knock you down. Am I making some sense? Something bad happens, you get up and do what you need to do. And something good happens, you don't stay there forever and forget other things to do. I hope I'm making some sense. All right. Okay. And then we have fasting. What an interesting topic. Practical living. You know. I just read something about fasting recently again, that fasting will help you do a lot of things in your life and then increase your immunity. And the next one is goal setting and reaching goals. Not just setting goals, but reaching them. So today, we are going somewhere that will help us to understand something about practical living. Can I ask you a question? Hello? Are we here? Someone said, what's the question? Relax now. What gets you up in the morning? I know what you say. The Lord. I agree. The Lord gets you up in the morning. Yes. What keeps you going? I know you will say, the Lord. In what ways? Let's go and see it now. 29th chapter of Jeremiah, verse 11. Everybody open there or sit on the screen. Jeremiah 29. Please remove this background and give us black background so that we can read it there. 29 Jeremiah, verse 11. Remove this background. We can't see with it unless I have black background. All right, thank you. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of what? Peace and not of evil. To give you what? A future and a hope. Let's look at NIV. It's very interesting, NIV. Saying the same thing, but another way. Give us NIV. Okay. I know the plans. So he called the thoughts. What did he call the thoughts? What did he call the thoughts? Plans. What is a plan? It's a sketch of tomorrow or a sketch of the future. And you can sketch something out. Huh? If you draw something, you try. You know, like when you want to build a house, you have a sketch drawing, right? So he said, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to what? Prosper you and not to. Plans to give you what? Hope and. I'm not hearing you. To give you what? I'm not hearing your voice now. To give you hope and a future. Give us back NKJV. Plans, thoughts. Can you give us back NKJV? I guess something's wrong in that place today. We can't be whoever it's there. Jerry, can you help me? Where's Jerry? We can't afford to be slow and be going through all these hassles today. The computer is going out. Mouse. Rat. Did they say mouse? I get another one now. We have mouse. We have more than one mouse. There are many rats around. All right. Okay. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and future. You know how some things can just disturb the whole mess. I'm listening. So can you just finally mouse messing up the whole evening? It's amazing. You know, that's where life is sometimes. All right, you know, plans, I know the thoughts of praise and not of evil to give you a future and a hope. Now, listen to this. Are we everybody? If you're going to be alive, practically speaking, you must cherish and sustain hope. What did I say? You must cherish and sustain hope. Please, can you just put it down till you get another stuff? Don't keep giving me verse like this. Just, I beg. You're going to use your Bible now. Are we ready? Okay, good. Until you get the mouse plus the rat. Now, it says, you see, I talk about a future and a hope. So if you are going to live practically and live well, you must sustain hope. You must cherish hope. Say that with me. I must cherish hope. I must sustain hope. Praise the Lord. So now, if I don't have hope, what happens? Let's look at. Are we okay now? Please delete this maturity school. Delete them. If that's what you do, thank you. Just give us black background. We're already in maturity school. We're not announcing it to anybody. Okay. Thank you. All right. Now, listen carefully. You know why I'm against things coming on the screen? We people today, they are living in a world, we are easily distracted. Put anything on the screen that's nothing, you start having conflict in your mind. You won't retain what you have. Have you ever happened to you before? You want to do something on your phone, you open your phone, and then you see something, and then you forgot what you want to do. Anybody here? Everybody has that sickness now. You know, so that's why I jealously guard putting things on the screen, because it just slips like that. They say you won't remember anymore. They don't understand that, but that's the truth of the matter. Happens to all of us. So where are we? We're talking about future and hope. If I want to be practical with my life, and you see, my life has time. Yesterday is gone. Today I'm better before me. Praise the Lord. I don't just mean only dreaming about becoming the MD of a company, but I should wake up every day with something better ahead of me. Whether spiritually or emotionally or physically or job-wise, I should get up every day looking forward. We call that hope. Now, look at 29 Jeremiah. I hope they can find it for us again. Verse 11 in NKJV. Something I put up today on the Facebook. I want to share it with you. Let's go. 29 verse 11, Jeremiah. Can we walk? Will it walk? Okay, let's see it. Is your mouse back? Thank you. Okay. For I know the thought that I think toward you, says the Lord, thought of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now, take a look at this, a future and a hope. When you have hope, listen to this. When you have hope and you don't have a future to live that hope, it leads to frustration. That's what happens to you. You are going for an interview somewhere. You need to be there to present. And on the way, you are blocked. So the future was not made available to you. You get frustrated in the car. Right? Now, that's, you have a hope and you can't get a future. When you have a future and you don't have hope, it's called boredom. You are bored. Are you hearing me? Yeah. You wake up in the morning. What is today? You don't know what to do today, so you are bored. Does that make some sense? Now, you know why you are bored now. You know why you are bored? You say, it's boring. Why is it boring? Because you are not looking forward to anything tangible there. Hello? For instance, how many of you live in Lagos before, and then you came to Abuja? It was boring. Anybody here? Thank you. Now, because Lagos is scintillating, is all the noise. You wake up in the morning, something's waking you up, something's making some noise. 4 o'clock, everybody's already up. Abeokuta, 7:30, they are still coming out of the house. It's boring because you're not expecting anything to come out through. So, but after a while, you're now bored with the boring and you become hopeful that you can do something in this town. Are we okay? So there's future, there's hope. When I have only future and no hope, what's that? Boring. When I have only hope and I don't have a future, that's frustration. Do you get that? If I have expectation and I don't have time for it, I don't have a future to live it, what happened to it? I'm frustrated. Praise God. I said, praise God. Okay, fantastic. So we're looking at hope today. Hope. You must have, when I say hope, I don't just mean that grandiose. I'm talking about expectation for better things. Something that makes you confident. Looking forward. It can be about just where you are going to write something today or who you are going to talk to today. Just, or some big project you have at hand. Whatever it is, there must be kind of a hope, an expectation. Now, as a Christian, we should be people of hope. People of expectation. Take a look at this verse again. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. So, we're looking at thoughts here now. NIV says plans. And it says to prosper you and not to harm you. That should make my heart sing already. That the great God of the universe has plans for me that will make me to flourish and not to damage me. That's enough to wake up in the morning to sing about. That whatever my age, whatever my life station, God of the universe, the great God Jehovah, said, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you. I don't know all these plans. So I don't know how to work out. So, but he said, these plans are to flourish my life. They are to prosper me. They are to make me better at the end of the day. And not to damage and destroy me. So, I have a hope and I have a future. It looks so simple. But sometimes some of these simple things make us to stumble. You know, in the midst of the dollar going up, in the midst of rising prices, God said, I have a future and a hope for you. So, I can look beyond the dollar issue to something hope for me. Huh? I can look beyond the trouble before me and into hope because God said, I got plans for you. I guess that's what made Joseph to be different from other people. Joseph, with all the things happening to him, there's this thing about expectation, about getting up and looking that God has something for me. Praise God. You won't be going to prison and still be really alert and useful if you don't think something's ahead of you. And you know what I'm doing, what I'm doing right now? It's the same word they use in Philippians 1:20. Let's go and read it. That getting up I'm doing, you know. I'll show you. Come and see. Philippians 1:20. According to my I, can you give us in? Go back to NKJV. Thank you. I eagerly expect. Yeah, beautiful. According to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Now, I don't know whoever is there. Can you get Bible in Yoruba? Can you? You know where it is. God bless you. I'm expecting, but with trepidation. Oje ifojusona. Did you hear that? Ifojusona. Your eyes put on the road. You know, that means you are looking at something coming down the road. I love it. Another Bible says, Ega bi naga. You call him naga. Nagain. You know, so something you are looking beyond what's present. Praise God. Praise the Lord. We believers, you see, when I'm talking now, some of you feel like this. Nothing. Nothing. So let's deal with that today. There should be this zest, this enthusiasm that no matter how things look, I'm not talking about behind the cloud is silver. I don't mean that kind of thing. I'm talking about something tangible, something real that God said, I got plans for you. Let's go back to English over here. Give us back 29 Jeremiah verse 11. Then we're going to see how to access that. We must be, I don't know everything. Okay, can you quit NIV entirely and give me NKJV? No longer NIV. Thank you. I've had enough of it. Now, for I know the thought I think toward you, says the Lord, thought of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now, what will make me drag my feet is evil and disaster. If you're telling me, Reverend, I'm waiting for you here to cut off your finger, I would dread to go there. If they say, tomorrow I'm going to lose some money, I will be really hesitant to get up tomorrow morning to go there. Because what is coming to meet me is going to damage or destroy or reduce me. But if tomorrow morning you come pick the check, tomorrow morning we're going to give you an award. When I wake up in the morning, something's in me. So God is saying, I got plans for you. No matter what's happening in your life, I got plans for you. And you know, I just don't want to say amen. I really want you to incorporate this into your life. That no matter what happens to you, God's got plans. Praise God, somebody. No matter what you face in the present, that's a future. Praise God, somebody. No matter what we face in the present, that's a future and that's a hope for us. We got the time and the expectation. Let's go a step further. Now, how do you make this practical reality? Pastor, thank you for talking like this. You know, one of the things I love most is living as a believer. Practically, I don't live as a pastor. I live as a believer. I love to be a Christian. I'm still a Christian. Forever a Christian. One day I'll stop being a pastor. But you'll be forever a Christian. In Christ Jesus, ever. So, what we're talking about now is how do I, as a Christian, live this hope life? Let's go to chapter 4, the book of Romans. That life is war. Life is a battle. And this battle, at the root of it, praise the Lord. Look at verse 18. Romans 4, verse 18. I want you to look at this verse. Who contrary to hope, that's Abraham. Can you look up, everybody? Can you look up? Take a look at this. Who contrary to hope, in hope believed so that he became. Can you give us in KJV, if you can find KJV? I want to show you something over there that is very beautiful. If they can find KJV for us. Take a look. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become? You cannot become what you are really after. The blessing of God, the glory of God. You cannot become. See, Abraham had to become the father of many nations. But in becoming it, he had to stand against one hope and believe another hope. So there are two kinds of hope. There is the natural hope. For instance, I'm past 50. I'm past 60. And I'm thinking, okay, all right, so what do you, you're getting old. I can be looking, that's natural, that I get old. Or I can do this. I can say, I embrace the plans of God for my life, and I'm looking forward to a future and a hope. That's crazy. I'm not 25 years old. But I can look forward because I saw that God could do that with Abraham, with Moses, and with other men. And so I can look forward today. I'm going to show you how to do that in a minute. But it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy to wake up in the morning. This is where Christian people have problems today. They want something. Even when you plant a mango, it won't fall on you. You have to go pick it. Am I right? You can't rely on your feeling. You have to better your feeling, praise God. Like bettering your lot. So you have to do this on purpose. Put that other hope aside and pick, like now, when you wake up in the morning, you know, some of you wear pajamas. Some of you wear whatever, nightgown, whatever. In the morning, you on purpose put that nightgown aside and wear pajamas and go to the bathroom and take bath and put something else on. Am I right? If you came from your bed here, we will wonder what's going on. So in the same way, we have to. You see, this is where believers actually play the defeat. You just go on like that. You just go on. What's going to be going to be? No. You have to pay on purpose, put that aside and pick this up. Your feelings should not rule you. You should dominate over your feeling with the expectation you are looking for. And Pastor, what am I looking for? Something better. Praise God, somebody. Something greater. What's that? It's coming from God. And God can be lesser than greater. Praise God. God wants the best for us. God wants us to live life. I don't know what it is. I, in the midst of all this hullabaloo, I have a future and a hope. Am I making some sense this morning? You have to embrace it. Say, who against hope believed? It took this other hope, lay it aside, and picked this hope that he might become. You can't become without believing this hope. Is that all right? You have to believe this hope in the face of apparent contradiction. Who against hope that was facing him believed in the hope from God that he might become? We are still in KJV. Look at the verse before this verse. Sorry, verse after this verse. Give us the verse after. And being not weak in faith. Look at it. He considered not his own body now, or his own life now, or his own mind now, or his own academic now, or his own marriage now, dead. When he was about 100 years old, let me rewrite this verse like this. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own salary that is too old, and neither yet the two. See, we do. Because somebody else is concerned that's making life difficult here. You have to do that. Practical living. It's very interesting because get up and do something with your life than just be waiting and watching and wondering what will happen. Am I making some sense this morning? This desire that something better is in store. Hallelujah. Are you here? Now somebody said, Pastor, how do I take this on practically every day? I want to show you two things now you can always do. It's always worked for me all these almost 43 years of working with the Lord, or only 44 now, of doing this, you know. And if there's anybody who has suffered in the hands of his mentality, I've had to battle through things in my mentality to embrace. You don't know that every time I come to stand over here, I have to firstly take the word of God, because I have this idea in my head that tells me that, are you sure? Wait, once in a while, I don't know about you, so these pastors, they are very powerful, they are very confident. I'm not like that. I get back home and say, are you really sure of this thing? So I start searching, I learn him more. I have to assure myself before I can come assure you too. Because I hate getting lost. I don't want us to go through all this way. I'm like, later, it's not true. I know. If this is not true, I'll be the first one to opt out of this building. I'll be somewhere else. So I'm trying to assure myself every day about this matter. So two practical things are important here. How do you do this? Number one, First Timothy 1:1. Number one. This is the first thing about practicalizing hope in your life. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ. What? Our hope. What did he call our hope? Not what? Who? So he said, our hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there are two ways of using hope, as a verb and as a noun. I can say, I hope. That's verb. Am I right? Active use. Or I can say, this is my hope. That's noun. Am I right? Okay, so noun. What is my hope? Not something, but a person. The Lord Jesus Christ. So my hope is a living hope. Are we here? So my hope death. Praise God, somebody. My hope is miraculous. Came here and he flourished. Not only that, he saved us. The whole world. That's my hope. What about your hope? Huh? So, my hope, first of all, is not something in the land of the living. My hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you clap our hands for Jesus, somebody? Hallelujah. My hope is the Lord. So, see, I can summarize my hope like this. Jesus Christ. No wonder Paul said, I can do all things through my hope who inspires and strengthens me. Now somebody said, you know that there's this thing about religious thing. About when we say Jesus Christ, we think of somebody who just wants to stop you, diminish you, and keep you out of life. But no, he said, I've come that you might have life. I believe with all my heart that the Christian life has not come to contract us, but to expand us. I believe that the Christian faith should be able to add more to us, not to just remove from our lives. He said, I've come that you might have life and have more abundantly. Now, please get off all that stuff on YouTube and ministers having problems and all kinds of things happening in the world and this one. No. The Christian life is very credible because Jesus Christ is the foundation stone of this thing. And he's alive and he's well. He has overcome death. Praise God, somebody. That's my hope. Hallelujah. Baba Debo is not my hope. My life is not my hope. My hope is the Lord. I'm not saying I'm having hope in the Lord. No, the Lord himself is my hope. So as I go through life, when I wake up every day, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So my hope never changes. Am I making some sense? My hope is a savior. My hope is the Lord. Praise God. My hope can save. My hope is the Lord. You know, if you don't have this, you come to church, you get tired. So today, people are living Christian faith because they don't actually see Jesus. They see more of a pastor. And pastor is not perfect. Deacons are not perfect, but Jesus Christ is our perfection. Praise God, somebody. So, number one, let me show you the implications of that in your life. If you make Jesus Christ your hope, not just hope alone, but when you make him your hope, Jeremiah 17, verse 7, let's take a look. Jeremiah 7:7. Is it working all right? Are we all right? Okay, thank you. All right. Blessed is the man. Please, can you look up, everybody? Blessed. See that on the screen? Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose what? Is her husband? Is his wife? Is the country? Whose hope is the Lord? Now, what will be the consequences of that kind of life whose hope is the Lord? Look at next verse. It shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spread out its root by the river. It will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, And never will he cease, will he stop yielding fruit. Wow. Honestly, looking back to my life, I'm not boastful. I've come to see that all these years, we started church in the midst of Abacha regime. I remember Abacha, all that trouble that time going on. And then after one another, I've kept looking up. Not only because of my survivor, but because of ourselves in church too. You know, and my children too. You know, my children just say, one day we were in the kitchen, and they said, Dad, you know, this country isn't worth it. What do I say? Like somebody I was talking to, I said, you know, let's trust God, let's believe God. He said, Reverend, you always talk like a pastor. I said, okay, I talk like the devil. Tell him, you know, I tell you, it won't work, life will be difficult. I know you won't like that. So let's take the other side. Amen, somebody. Praise the Lord. So can you see this description? I want that to be my tree by the rivers. And my house is up. I will look by my house off like that. It's all dried up now until waiting for rain. But this by the stream, they just still like the, what do you call this now? This upon, what do you call this in English? Bamboo. Thank you. They just green. And he said, it's probably his root by the river. That means it's collecting things, it's making life, it's having more input. And he will not fear when heat comes. These are the time of heat, man. Praise the Lord. And gradually over the years, to be honest with you, I must testify that my dependence on the Lord has given me more ease and more peace. Not because I have money stored up somewhere, but because the Lord is just there. And we can count on him. I'm making some sense over here. And he will do whatever with people and circumstances to make our life better. Are we here, everybody? How do I prove this? When you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will see your hope there, alive, moving around. You can see Jesus doing things for people, helping people, strengthening them. That's my hope. One, you know, the reason why we read about Jesus' testimony in the Bible, miracles and cool, is to give us an inspiration. For instance, now, if I want to buy this, I'll ask somebody, hey, where can I get this? Oh, I have somebody who sells a good quality. That testimony will inspire me to go and look for that thing in that person's shop. And we can have testimony of Jesus all over Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's real, right? So number one, Jesus Christ is our hope. Say that with me. My hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the second thing that helps us with our hope, listen to this. Now, this is not faith. Now, this is not faith. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go. Romans 15. Now, this is another way that has helped me tremendously over the years to get rid of hope. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning. Now, follow carefully. That we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have what? Beautiful. So, one of the things that I'd really, if there's anything besides Jesus, I can put my finger on that has inspired my hope is that if it's in the Bible, I can expect it. Out of the weakness of my life, I've come to depend entirely, not always accurately, to take my Bible. And when things don't look like, and at times it looks, it don't work out, to just read. He said, for whatever things were written before, were written for our learning. So, you can learn hope. Praise God, somebody. It can become, you see, like now, you learn alphabets. You see, the first time you wrote alphabets, like my daughter, I didn't know my own, but my daughter's own, the A's was like this. It didn't stand like this. But now she writes well. See, Learning this, you have to cultivate it. You have to cultivate hope. You have to do it yourself. And that's by reading the Word of God. And by not just reading the Bible, but learning it. You know, what's learning? You see, when you go to school, you can read books. But when you are having an exam, you are learning to write the exam. Am I right? What you are reading is to be applied in the world, in the exam hall. Am I correct? In the same way, read the Bible like that to be applied in the practical life. The generation, you have all kinds of packages on your phone. Devotionals, different types, and somebody speaking, somebody can, all those packages. I'm not a, but you know, you have too many. If you are open, like I said one today, we have this for you, we have this for the, we do this kind of fun thing. So at the end of the day, you actually digest yourself, they are digesting everything for you. For just plain Bible app, I don't want to see anything else. Just give me the plain word so I can read it and think on my own. But someone is putting letters, something over there, checking over there, something over there, and they're putting all the graphics, and they said, you know, sometimes this app will show you Nazareth, and it will take a lot of letters and show you video of it. I don't need video. I want to see real life in my life. So sometimes you think you are studying Bible, but you're just kind of taking a journey entertainment. Are you hearing me? Now, I'm not against your app. Forgive me. But what I'm really after is, you know, you can come to the class and talk about exam coming and dance about it, entertain me with it. But when in life comes, I have to pad that, or else I'm not leaving the class. Does that make some sense? Are we here, everybody? So, things were written before, were written for our learning. And it says that we, through what? See that word patience. You see that word patience? It's one of the biggest key to hope. See that word patience? It means through stubbornness. That means stubbornly, I take it. Whether I feel like or I don't feel like, I must pump and crank my hope every day. You know, I read the Bible. I have my way of reading the Bible. But when I'm running to anything that is bothering me, you know what I do? I pick my Bible and I go to that particular thing that's bothering me. That what the Bible says about it. And that will inspire hope in me. Praise God, somebody. Let me give an example. Look at what's going on in our country. Though it's calmed down a little bit now. But I mean, price was just going gaga. I mean, dollar was just got to, price got to about 2,300. And, you know, in the midst of that, it got to the point I said, hey, why not? Bulano. But then I had to stop and open Psalm 46. Let's go and read it. I have to find a hope. Verse 1. God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. I know that verse, but I need the next verse for my hope. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. I have to pack around this in my thoughts. If the earth be removed, where will you be? If the mountains, Uluma just disappear, where will you go? Look at next verse. We will not fear. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains... So I have to come. The mountains was no longer physical now. The mountain is dollars and rate of exchange. The roaring sea is the multitude going crazy and saying, you know, looting warehouses. Are you hearing me? And I have to... God, please help us. People in church... You know, instead of saying, Oluwa Jesu, Bolaye Yilo. I had to do that. It's not the easiest thing in the world. Does that make some sense? Now, let me close with a help. I said number one and two. Christ is our hope. He's there watching our life. When we are there. And second, this book, this record, will give us hope. Sometimes I stop looking at all this and say, what are my children? That kind of a thing. You know, you just come to you. How are your children? The one day we were talking, and then The daughter, Ayotunde's daughter, her school fees was what I paid. Her school fees in kindergarten. See, those moments, you know what I do? I just say, I hope I'm old. I see begging for bread. One of my children called me, Daddy, is that verse true? I said, it is true. I said, okay, it's not true. We are all going for the altar. We're going to perish. No. It's the Lord. Now, let me give you another way that I'm thinking about this. So, if number one, and a second, the record help our home. You know, I love this. This is one of my best verses in the Bible. The God of right? Oh, yes. Bible called God, the God. Wow. Romans. That means God will never come and make you to despair. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and abound and increase in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So here I am. I know it's my hope. Second, the record is there, but I'm not feeling. I just start praying. I just start praying. He has something to fill me with. And then, I've been there several times, man. Just, Lord, thank you. Let's just pray right now. Say, Lord, thank you because you are the God of hope. Fill my life with joy and peace. Lord, I want to be joyful. I want to be peaceful. Is that your desire? I want to be peaceful. I want to be joyful. I want to accelerate in hope. I want to abound. I want to really be abundant in hope. I want to be filled daily with your own expectation to life or for life. Lord, fill me with joy. Fill me with peace. In the midst of all this going on, let your joy radiate in my soul. Help me to go out with joy and come back with peace. Lord, give me reasons to rejoice. And Lord, fill my life with fresh dreams. Help, say, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, say, that you will abound in hope by the power of the Spirit. That, Lord, help me to abound. Help me to have more expectation in my spiritual life. Concerning my health, concerning my finances, concerning my spouse, concerning my children, concerning my family, concerning my job. Help me to, no matter what I'm hearing, that some jobs will be destroyed by AI, help me to just abound and expect you. Thank you for hope. Thank you for expectation. I look forward. Oh, glory to Jesus. Amen. Can you open your eyes? This last word, I need to bring it to you. Sometimes you have to take side with God against yourself sometimes. You know, David said, why are you cast down, oh my soul? Remember? And why are you disquieted? Hope in God. That's the verb now. You have to do it. Don't only just pray it and receive it. Give us Psalm 42, verse 5. Psalm 42, verse 5. Hope. Why are you cast down, oh my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. You hope in God. You make it active. Don't only just wait to collect it, but take it. Use it. Hope in God. For as I yet praise him for the help of his countenance. The Lord said, I refuse to be hopeless. I refuse to be negative concerning my future. God has given me a future and a hope, and I embrace this with both of my hands. Concerning my health, in the midst of all the news, concerning my finances, in the midst of all the circumstances, concerning my home and my future, in the midst of all the statistics, thank you, Father. I hope in God. I refuse to be disquieted. I refuse to be cast down My soul hope in God. My soul hold fast to divine expectation in all happen, in all that is happening. Praise God. Thank you. In Jesus' name. You know, when everything else is slippery, hope. So what about faith? You cannot use faith without hope, because we'll see that in a minute. It takes hope to start faith. You got to expect first, then you can go for it. Praise the Lord. Are we blessed? Now, we take a pause. And then, are we ready for the book today? Oh, no. I told them they should get ready for this week. What to do when faith seems weak? Okay. We'll stop now. I think I need to go and get the book. You just read it. Since you can't get it on the screen, we just read it. Can you do that? Just read the book. I've told Balumi to get the book ready for us. Not ready. So let's... I don't know whether you should ask him whether the book is ready. Did I give you a copy? I've not even given you a copy, but I think we have... Okay, I need to get the book from my shelf. Do you have the book there? So, you know what we're going to do? Give us the book. You want to do something 5 minutes? 5 minutes. You can get us the first chapter or something or something. All right, great. They want to do magic. Let's have hope in them. Let's just do some question and answer right now while they're doing that, getting that ready. If you want to ask any question about this area, because this has to do with our soul, our emotional life. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about using hope to counteract depression and things like that. Anybody want to ask any question, microphone, or you want to write it down? Please feel free. You know, everybody's quiet. No question? Huh? Interesting. Okay, let's do something. Ask your neighbor beside you. When you are depressed, I'm never depressed. Okay, can you share with me what you do? You can learn from one another. Okay, find somebody beside you and don't close up. Think, oh, maybe sometimes I feel sad, depressed. What do you do? Okay, let's share experience. Okay, let's share experience. Don't grab your phone now. I don't need your phone. I need someone to talk to. If the person says, I'm too depressed to talk, leave them alone. That's it, working the process. Maybe last time you were depressed, something happened. What do you do? Depressed, something happened. What do you do? All right. Just share your experience. What do you do? So, if you are, just share experience. What did you do last time? I know you didn't go and drink whiskey. You know. Oh, you can ask them, how have you been coping with the recent upsurge and everything, you know? Okay. What have you been doing with it? Is there any verse that you use? Is there any particular passage of the Bible that kind of help you at this time? Let's share one another. Help us tremendously. Okay. Some people are having a beautiful time. And some other ones are just, no problem. That's all right. Okay, we've got about 3-4 minutes left to do this. All right, we should be rounding up. Okay. All right, let's start putting it to a stop. Thank you very much. Thank you. I hope we learned something. Learned some wonderful things. Thank you so much. One of the things I enjoy most in my counseling room, sitting down with people and hear their life stuff. There's nothing like it. It's like you're going through a divine moment. Praise God. Okay, fine. Let me talk about something that is important here. One of the things that also make it difficult for us to get up sometimes when we want to go for hope is shame. That can also really elongate the time of our struggle to get hold of hope. You know, I'm in this family, I'm the only one that doesn't just, you know, or can you just imagine the delayed, you know, and so. We people around here, this side of the world, we feel people. Like now, if you're contending for the money, is the fact that with Kenwaso, you know, somebody will just, you know, that. So we have these two battles to fight. Beside ourselves trying to find our way, second is people around us. People don't sell it. You know, when they demote somebody from one place to another place, it doesn't make any sense until people start saying that the person is demoted. And then it's, oh, God, I didn't know more, can you go? So it puts one on the edge. And I know it's very strong. Let's look at that. Luke 1. Come and see when, verse 24, Luke 1:24. The woman was been barren for years. Now, after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. They were quite old. And she hid herself. I mean, think about that. This is a typical African person. You want to hide that thing. You want to hide. You don't want to show, you know. See, that's her reason. Saying, what was her reason? Thus, the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. You know, here she was, is quite old. Maybe it's been her 60s, late 60s. And she had a conception. She just couldn't let people look at the pregnancy. I mean, what will people like Gomelo? I mean, the 21-year-old pregnant, 65-year-old. So she just. That particularly when you are in a group, and all your group members just pass the exam minus you. When you are in a group and something awful happens, please sustain hope, because others may come to depend on you. Others may come to depend on you. Sustain hope. Oh, something happened, somebody failed an exam, or that money didn't arrive. Don't just get down with everybody else. Just get up. You know, something happened recently. My daughter, she's going to be called to the bar this week. So when she went to law school, and she wanted to make first class. She did what she could, and then she had 2-1. Then she came home. She sat down with us and said, I said, hey, you tried. 2-1, fantastic. She said, why do you always do that, Dad? I said, what should we do now? You didn't make the first class. 2-1 is fantastic. She started crying. You're just different parents. You know? It's fantastic. That's just with you. Hallelujah. Somebody has to spearhead that. I say, oh, you make you disappointed me. It's already a disappointment. Don't add more to it. You know. Is that all right? So that happened. And over the years, as a church pastor, I had to stop trying to compare people in church. And don't talk about you rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. You have to learn to do that. You know, some people can do that easily, but you have to learn to do that too. To be able to come down to people's level or come up to their level, whichever way it is, you know. And particularly I learned that one in my family that something happens, you know. Maybe somebody is sick there. You do everything you can to just pump them up and encourage them, get every help you can get to get going. So you must always be inspiring hope. Are you hearing me, somebody here? You know, I know it's not easy because you want to cry yourself, you want to give up yourself, you want to tantrum and tell God anything you want to tell God. But you just can't afford to do that. You know, I remember those days, my mom, something would happen in our family, or somebody died, and then they would come to the house to come and tell her, and then she start weeping. And then they would say this to her, with a woman now. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Or something, just get up, just don't, you know. You know, and then, she would cry after a while, you know, they just, hallelujah. So, be an open spiral. Hope that's making some sense. Hallelujah. Praise God. Sometimes that can make you illogical. That can make you illogical because there's no reason. But don't forget the very first verse we read at the beginning of this. For I know the thoughts I think toward you, said the Lord. A thought of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. That means no matter how dark it looks, no matter how hopeless it is, God has plans. He has thoughts for us. Not of evil, but of good, to give us a future and a hope. Think about it. They brought home just their son's clothes that lion has eaten him up. Or something has destroyed him. Joseph's brother came back home. And 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. And then one day, they found Joseph. And found Joseph big. How will you tell that? Let's go and read the story when they told him. I want you to see something. Praise God. I've been able to do the book now. You try? Okay, all right. You come. Let's go to Genesis 43 or 44. Okay. I think it's still further down. Yeah, verse 25. 45, verse 25. Let's go. Can you give us Genesis 25? Genesis 45. Verse 25. Then they went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan to Jacob their father. Let's read it again. Next verse. And they told him, saying, Joseph is still alive and is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart, I don't know whether this is physical heart or spiritual heart, just too still because he did not believe it. Just looking. Somebody said, Pastor, I lost a child. Maybe miscarriage or something. I will never see him as governor. You see that child in heaven. Don't forget that. It doesn't disappear. And Jacob's at next verse. And when they told him all the words which Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the cart which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. Praise God. Next verse. And what happened? Then Israel said, it is enough. He said, my son is still alive. I'll go and see him before I die. Praise God. So let's keep cherishing hope. Hallelujah. Now, I want to read a book now that will help us. It starts with what to do when faith seems weak and victory is lost. So that will tally with what we're going to do. And then we're talking about faith for a few minutes. Can you throw it on the screen? Do we have just a few? Yeah. Is it chapter one? Right. So the book is titled, did you give us, can you get us the foreword first? Do you have the foreword? Okay. Can I have the book? Thank you. So I can just read the foreword. You know, before we read chapter one. Okay. Quickly, get me the book. All right. I recommend it for us to read this book because it's fantastic about what to do. Do you have the title of the book? Type down there. You have the title. Okay. What to do? Can you type it in? What to do when faith seems weak? Can you remove this one meanwhile? Give us blank. Okay. You know what you can do? Jerry, take the pictures, share it or something. Okay, don't worry. Okay, all right. Okay, can you take it from here and shoot it on the wall? Okay, they can't do that. What to do when faith seems weak and victory is lost? Okay. Listen to this. I just want to read the beginning of the book. I have begun this book with two scriptures, 1 Corinthians and Ephesians 6, which tell us that our enemy is Satan. But God has given us the equipment for victory over Satan. There is no need for us to be overcome by him. There is no need for us to be defeated. God's word and God's armor are all the equipment of Satan and his forces. Yet, listen to this, I meet Christians all the time who have problems. They have come to the place where they say, I don't know what to do. Have you ever been there? That's the reason I wrote this book. The 10 steps outlined in this book, when taken in sequence, will bring you out of defeat and into certain victory. So, what to do when faith seems weak and victory lost? There are 10 steps that was given in this book, that were given in this book, which we are going to start today with the first reading. We're not finished for today. So Sister Kemi will come and help us read. Sister Warida on Tuesday. Let's clap for her. She comes. All right. Great. So what to do? Chapter 1. We look at the first one. Okay. Let's go now. Are we ready? Okay. Yes. Give us chapter 1. The one you have typed out or brought out.
Good evening, church. What to do when faith seems weak and victory lost?
Just hold on. I hope you're not having a first problem there. Okay, good.
Recognizing the source of the opposition as being Satan and stand your ground. So many times people do not know whether God or the devil is doing certain things. Well, they say, maybe the Lord is trying to teach me something. I remember hearing an evangelist years ago who'd had a tent which seated 20,000 people. But when he put it up down in Texas, One of the Texas tornadoes came along and blew it away. At this meeting, they were taking up a special offering to help him get another tent. I remember, he said, and I almost fell off the bench when I heard him say it. I don't know whether God or the devil blew away the tent. God is not out blowing down gospel tents. God is out putting them up. Yes, somebody said, but God allowed it. God is not the God of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Call Satan the God of this world. And the laws governing the earth today very largely came into being with the fall of man and the curse, with the fall of man and the curse upon the earth. What to do when faith seems weak and victory lost? It is because people do not understand this that they accuse God of accidents, of sickness, of the death of loved ones, of storms, catastrophes, earthquakes, and floods. God is not responsible for, nor the author of, any one of those things. Jesus set aside these natural laws as we understand them in order to bless humanity. Jesus stood on board that ship and rebuked that storm, saying, "Peace be still," according to John 14:10. It was God in him who did that work. If God caused the storm, God will be working against himself in causing it to cease. It was the same with the healings Jesus performed. Jesus said, "The Father in me, he doeth the works," all the healings, all the miracles, all the works that Jesus did, God did. If God were the author of sickness and disease, and God healed people through Jesus, then God worked against himself. That cannot be, for Jesus said, "If a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand." Mark 3:24-25, John 10:10. It is very easy to find out where things come from. The Lord Jesus Christ himself contrasted his works of the devil in John 10:10. They might have it more abundantly.
Thank you. They did some good work. I know they have some problems. That's right. But the let's clap for them. We'll continue next week. But you see, the very first thing, give us that chapter one again. It said, when things happen to people, things happen to all of us. Sometimes bad things happen and stuff like that. But the book is telling us that the very first step we need to take out of whatever comes against us is to know that God is not the author of it. And that's one of the hardest we're going to ask. We think that the book says something that I want you to see. Bad things have happened to me too. So don't think I'm just trying to be a little bit, not have any sense. After being alive on this earth for some time, this will happen to you too. But we must never, never think that God is the one who made that to happen. The reason why is simple, and this is very clear. After Adam and Eve sinned, another set of laws entered this world. That's not the law of God. It's called the law of sin and death. That law of sin and death inspired Cain to kill Abel. That law of sin and death turned the creation against itself. God never created mosquito to carry malaria parasite. But when Adam sinned, the law of sin and death came into the world and destroyed. You know, somebody will say, the man that died, God took him. God didn't take him. The chopper blew up. Are you hearing me? So we need to see that these are works that are not works of God. God is out to bless. God, when somebody said, "Pastor, You know, I know that a lot of time people come up and say, you know, God is the one behind this. And God's the one. If God didn't do that, if God didn't kill my wife, I would not be more serious spiritually. It's not God that did the killing. Sickness brings death, not God. Okay. Now you say this, that brother Joseph sold Joseph so he could go to Egypt. God didn't make them, God's not the thief that made them sell the brother and have pains for years and years and years with the parent. But God used that to make things happen. So don't confuse God using whatever is going on to make glory come to himself. Is that all right? But God is not the one who authored. Hope you're getting what I'm saying. So start with that attitude first. No matter what happens to you, it's not God that is inspiring the evil and making you to sack you at work. That's not God. God is not out destroying gospel tent, like he said. God is out in putting them up. One of the things you have to understand very clearly before we stop this discussion is that Jesus said, anyone who has seen him has seen the Father. Right? Let's look at it, John 14. This was difficult for me to swallow until I began to see this kind of verse. John 14, verse 9. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Now please look up here. Can you look up here? So this is what convinced me finally. This is what convinced me finally about this matter. About what God does, what God doesn't do, what that thing is God behind. Because when you think that God is the one bringing it, you will not get up enough to remove it. You know, in those days, people believed that God's the author of sickness, and so they won't let doctors do their work. Are you hearing me? So, the doctor is working against the will of God. Am I right? They're not. God is not for sickness. God is for health. And that's what doctors are doing to promote health. Praise God, somebody. Now, what I'm saying is this. This is what convinced me, final conclusion. Jesus said, whatever you say is my Father. So, when we look at Jesus, did he ever hurt or damage anyone? Oh, answer me. For instance, when there was a storm, Jesus stopped it. In insurance, they call storms, earthquakes, the act of God. But if they were act of God, then Jesus was rebuking his Father for going to work with the storm. But can I close like this? A lot of things you see on this planet, they are not part of it, originally speaking. A lot of things. Excessive heat, flood, destruction. It was never part of the original creation. So what we see now, they are actually a distortion of whatever we see around us. You see today, a lot of things that are happening to people, it's not God. It's not God. Bad to happen to people. But because we are living in this fallen world, now somebody said, why is God allowing it? That's a big question we need to answer. But can I ask you a primary question? Why did God allow Eve to eat the fruit? We need to answer. That's the primary question we need to answer. Because that could have prevented everything else. Am I right? So, why did God allow? Can you just imagine? After they finished eating and relaxed, God now came down. And he was coming in the cool of the day. Huh? If we don't answer that, then there will be no meaning for other ones. Now somebody said, why did God allow that? Very simple. God is upright, just, and fair. He keeps his word. He told them I give you right to eat every tree in this garden. But if you eat of this fruit, you will surely die. So if God said that, he gave them the freedom of choice to make up their mind. And he will not teleguide them and go around them. He has given what will happen if you do this. That will help you so much in dealing with God. He doesn't sidetrack. He doesn't play on your intelligence. He said, I'm knocking at the door. If any man open, if any man is so expected to open or not open. I hope you are getting what I just said. So, if that is so, a lot of things that we think happen here, it's not like God involved because we have our freedom of choice. But then, when we invite God, he can deliver. When we invite God, things can happen. But after Adam sinned and his wife, God was left on the outside and he has to be invited from now on. Before that time, God was part of the system. But when Adam sinned, by choice, he said, God, stay out. So that's why prayer is important. We have to now officially invite God. If you don't invite him, nothing can happen here. So when it came to our salvation, he had to get Abraham to invite him. That's why we are here today. Praise God, somebody. Do we get that? And you will see all through Jesus' ministry, they had to invite him before he do anything. Am I right? They come to him. Oh, once in a while, he will meet somebody like the madman of Gadarene and help them. But it is not his time. John 5, come and see. A man was healed there that was 38 years sick. John 5. But something was spoken about the issue. When the man was healed and they carried his bed, they said, oh, who healed you? He didn't even know who healed him. And the Bible gave the reason why. Take a look. Verse 12. Then they asked him, who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk. Look at next verse. But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn. A multitude being that place. Can you look up, everybody? If Jesus had the power, walk to that place, there are crowds over there. And he healed one, and he withdrew himself. You know the reason why? I'll tell you why God does that. You'll see that in minutes now. Now, why did Jesus go down there, heal one person, and move away? Is God advertising that I'm available? You get what I just said? Like you advertise. God advertised, but it's not going to heal everybody by advertisement. So when he healed that one, he left. Then they will hear about him, and then they will go to his meetings and receive on their own. But he will use one or two for demonstration. Is that all right? Is that all right? So you can see that all those that happen in Crusade Gang and Miracle Festival, they are demonstrations of God's power so that we, on our own, can go to God and receive. That's why the man, paralyzed man with four friends, carried him there. That's why the issue of the woman, they came on their home. Are we making some sense? So, say that with me. God is not the author of disease, death, and destruction. Praise God. All right? Okay, let me, for a few minutes, maybe next 20 minutes, talk about something that must make your faith come alive. Let's go. Matthew 17. Let me say like this. Having faith is not enough to see a miracle. That's what I'm saying, Pastor, causing trouble. Having faith is not enough. Let me make it easier for you. Having money, it's not enough. You have to spend it. Am I correct? You hear what I just said? What did I say? Odakalowo. But if you don't use the money and spend it, it won't do you any good. So having faith is not enough. We must learn to use our faith. How? Matthew 17, 20. Matthew 17, 20. I want us to just take a look at this. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for verily, I say to you, I want you to look at this verse. If You have faith as a mustard seed. If you stop there, we'll say, fantastic. Just have faith. So he said, comma. And this is one of my greatest struggles as a Christian. There is a deference, a reverence for God that can be insulting to God. Let me explain myself. There is a deference, there is a reverence, there is a fear of God that can paralyze us, and God will not be happy with it. For instance, if your dad turned over to you 100,000 naira and say, young man or young woman, buy what you want. And you really respect him. But if you go out there to see what you want and you hesitate waiting for your father to tell you what to do, will be insulting to him. I don't know if you agree with that. He said, young man, young woman, yes, 100K, buy what you want, right? Now, if I go out there to the market and I saw what I want and I hesitate, oh, I don't know. I'm insulting his generosity. Am I correct? I'm not, well, I wish you were thinking along with me. Real faith, when you have it, you don't keep going back to God. Just like, my dad give me some money now and say, 100,000 naira, go out, buy what you want. If I go out and I see what I want, what should I do? I can only refer back to him if it's beyond 100,000. Does that make some sense? So, what I'm saying now is that not just having faith is enough. Look at that verse again now. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say, not to God, you will say to this mountain, the evidence of having faith is to say to this mountain, not to talk to God. Interesting. Jesus categorically demonstrated this when he was here. You will not see Jesus praying to God. Father, please help them. Father, please. This is what he will say. Everywhere he went, he will open the book of Isaiah and say, the Holy Ghost is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel, to heal the brokenhearted, to deliver those who are captives. And he just goes about doing that. So when it comes to faith, the moment you have faith, don't just be referring it back to God. God, please. God, what are you doing? God, no, he said, say to this mountain. That's how to spend your faith. Say to this mountain. That, what do you say? You know, it's a mark of humility to say, by the grace of God. Right? It's a mark of humility. But if you look at this verse, it'd be a mark of insulting to God. He gave you the authority. He said, move from here to there. Now, somebody said, how can I dare say that? Because you have been asked to do it. Move from here to there, and it will move. It didn't say, God will see that it's done. And it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. I've always hesitated a lot of time around this verse like that. God is helping me to come out of it. You know, to just look at something, thank God, look up at God, look down, and trust God, and see. But God is saying, if you have faith, you will say to this mountain. So, real proper faith speaks to things. Not just speaks about God or speak to God. It's okay. Speak about God. My God is greater than the mountain. My God is bigger than all. Fine. Praising God. But that won't move that mountain. And speaking to God, God, please, that won't move the mountain. Let me show you something in the Bible. Exodus 14. We'll end up. We see a picture, a type, and a shadow of this in Exodus 14. Hallelujah. Look at verse 1. Exodus 14. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and come before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal-Zephon. You shall come before it by the sea. Let me show you what is going over here. Can you look up here? Can you look up, everybody? Can you look up here? Now, God was telling them, we are coming out of Egypt. We are going to the promised land. Then they came out of Egypt, and God said, turn. Listen. He said, turn. Turn. And he said, go by the sea. Now, there's no way through the sea. That's like God, I mean. There's no way by the sea. He said, just turn. Why is he doing that? Take a look. Verse 2. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in. See, sorry, can I tell you something? Sometimes God will set you up for impossible situations. He will let you run into things that will require you to not depend. I mean, think about it. How could you have set them up to walk by the sea? He said, God said, I know what he will do. I know what he's going to do. I want to do this for you. Let's keep reading. And then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them. You know my question to God, please. You can do that between you and Pharaoh. Don't use me as an experiment. Are you here? I don't want to be the guinea pig. So that he will pursue them and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army. That the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. Lord, you have contested with Pharaoh. Leave me out of it. But no, he can't leave you because you are his people. Clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. And they did so. Let's keep. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled and the heart of Pharaoh and the servant was turned against the people. And they said, why have you done this? That we have left Israel, go from serving us. So the plot worked. The plot worked. And then, look at verse 9. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariot of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them camping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Zephon. You know what happened? This is what happened. See, God said, turn. And when they are cornered by the sea, you know what Pharaoh did? Pharaoh now ran ahead of them, and then he just blocked them. So they have nowhere to go. They can't go back because Pharaoh is already there. And they can't go here because the sea is there. Who set it up? Don't say it too loud. All right. And when Pharaoh drew near, Pharaoh lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. Pharaoh said, cry out to the Lord. Now follow now. This is where I'm going. I'm talking about faith speaking, right? Is it not the word that we told you in Egypt saying, let us alone that we might serve the Egyptians, for it will have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. You know, that's where Christian life is sometimes. Am I right? Kinimokura, I'm missing you. You know that kind of thing. Start believing God for something. It gets difficult. Things get blocked. Let's keep reading. I'm giving you an example here. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Do what? Stand still and see what? Which will accomplish for you today. But Jesus, which we see today, shall not God see anymore. Stop there. Now look at that story. Look at that story. Here you are. You are by the Red Sea. You are trapped. You can't go. And then the man gave you a counsel, stand still. What happened to you? They are moving. Of course, you see, that's what we do. We just wait. We just see what God will do. And we just trust and believe in. Now look at next verse. What did God do? The Lord will fight for you. And you shall hold your peace. Now look at next verse. God's now said to Moses, And the Lord said to Moses, wait. Why do you cry to me? Who brought us here? Interesting. I mean, to Babere, Wapari, friend. But he said, tell the children of Israel to go where? What he said to them, stand still. God said, go forward to where? This story is enjoyable in the classroom like this. Why are you crying to me? Next verse. Look at it. For lift up your rod, stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. You divide the sea. Huh? No. Did they togu fight for us? So you divide the Red Sea. That's what Christ was talking about. When you got faith, like rod, in fact, the word rod they used for Moses, about study, same word for faith in Exodus 23, 18 or 17. Same word. So that rod was like his faith connecting with God. God said, stretch forth your feet. I mean, what would that do? Rod, water, speak. Let's go on. And indeed, I will harden the heart of the Pharaoh Egyptians, so I'll follow them, so I'll gain honor. So God said, and what did he do? He stretched forth, and there was wind that accompanied that stretching forth, and there was. What I'm saying to you today is that you're going to have to do that in your life. You have to pull some changes. You have to speak your faith. You hear what I just said? You have to speak your faith. Many of us over here, we think faith, we pray faith, but we don't speak faith. When I say speak faith, I mean talking to things. Talking to your life. Talking to your body. Talking to your finances. Talking to your business. It's easier to say, I trust God, than for us to say, I challenge you in our private life. That can be done easily in church. It's easier to say, oh Lord, please help our marriage, or to get up and say, this marriage is not going down. It's easier to say, God, please help us with this business in this hard time, to say that than to say, no, I choose that whatever it takes, this business is going to move forward and I will not lose at the end of the day. I notice a difference. Every time when I personally speak on purpose to things, I seem to be strengthened and ready to see changes than when I'm just cowardly hiding behind God and say, God, what are you going to do? What's going on here? And I go to close like this. Every one of us, in the face of facing our Red Sea, must learn to get up and divide it. That's what I'm saying. And please, don't get me wrong. You can't divide the sea. But God said, divide the sea. Why did he say that? Because what he said will come to pass because he said it to you. Let me say that. When God says, say to this mountain, it will move. Nothing will be impossible to you. The reason why what you say will come to pass, because God said it will come to pass. That's enough foundation to rest on. Am I making some sense today? Let's go out to Matthew 17 and round up. Give our offering. 17:20. Matthew 17:20. Every time I read this verse, Matthew 17:20. Every time I read this verse, I don't feel comfortable. What can I do to the mountain? It's been here before I was born. It's bigger than me on every side. But the Lord warned me one day. He said, the reason why I said it will move is because I said so. And that's why we say it in the name of Jesus. That's why we use the word in the name of Jesus. Amazingly, my time is gone. I'll show you another one. David and Goliath. You know, David never stopped and said, Father, Ejo, please, show yourself, show your glory. There was a talk about Goliath, like downplaying him. Remember that? No, your servant will go. I will take care of him. How can he defy the army of the living God? It was by faith. He killed. And do you know that when they got to the war front, can you just imagine this boy 70-year-old and this giant, and David will say, I will kill you. He had no sword in his hand. And I will remove your head and give your body and the body of Philistines to the birds of the air to eat. Pastor, those people are special people. You are very right. You know why I said so? Because God gave them the itowu. You hear me? He gave them the deposit. He gave them the foretaste of what we are going to enjoy today. Are you hearing what I just said? God gave all of them foretaste of what we are going to enjoy today. He gave them, Bible says, they have the shadows of things to come, and we have the real stuff now. Let's clap our hands for Jesus. Amen. 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 So, I'd like you to just close your eyes and give thanks to God for the ability of His faith in our lives. I want us to give thanks to God. And I want you to do something on purpose. Whatever is bugging you, can you just talk to it? Whatever you want to move, can you just say to it? Is it about your future? Is it about your life? Is it about certain things in your life? Is it about your health? He said, you will say. Can you just take his word serious and just say it? Is it something in your body? Is it something in your finances? Can you just say, I'm agreeing with Jesus. And he says, nothing will be impossible for you. So just having faith is not enough. We should say after having faith. And we should say to the mountain. We should say to things. Jesus spoke to the fig tree. Can you on purpose? Don't talk to God now. Thank God for giving you the seed of faith. But now, begin to, on purpose, speak over your life. Speak over things. Thank you, Father. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. We bless you that these things are going to move. You said, when we speak to the mountain will move. I tell yourself, these things will move. These things I'm saying will come to pass. They move. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to give our offering now. But while we're praying, I told you, I love to pray, see things. While we're praying, I just saw something which we'll talk about next week. I just saw this, that if he says, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, when you say that, you are actually prophesying. What's that? You are repeating what God said. You are not saying anything outside him. So you are actually just, you are not the original. It's called confession. Confession is to admit what is already there. So you are actually saying what God, you are not saying it yourself. You are saying it because, is that clear? Do we get it? You are not saying because you just feel like saying it. He said, you say, move from here to there. So when you do that, you're actually repeating what God said. And that's prophesying. Prophesying is speaking for God, right? So actually you are speaking for God to the mountain. That's more peaceful, am I right? Okay, finally, I'm not doing something on my own. Hallelujah. It's not by power. It's not by might. But by my spirit. And we say, this mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain. Let's give our offering. By my spirit. Hallelujah. Father, we bring our offering to you. We speak your word that says, give shall be given unto us. Good measure. Press down. Shake it together and run it over. That's your word. We didn't originate it. So we give accordingly. And we expect what you said will come to pass. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Guys, can I? Third service, remember last Sunday, we gave some kingdom seed to Pastor Ayo. Guess what happened? When we finished the service, it was his house rent yet to be paid. So Saturday night, one elderly person called him on the phone and said, "Please, I need some money to pay my house rent." And I told the person that my house rent is not complete, but I'll give you some out of it, expecting God to give him back Saturday. Sunday he was here. The money was returned to him, more than what he was asking for. Praise God. Hallelujah. So you guys are in the spirit. And what you gave that day was more than what the phone gave you before. Hallelujah. All right. Can we get up on our feet? Okay, we're still giving. All right. Okay, let's give. Hallelujah. Tonight has been very wonderful. Really been wonderful. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's. We learn about hope. Then we share among ourselves. I hope you remember your friend's stories or brother's story in church telling you. And then we went to what to do when faith seems weak. We'll continue next week. We'll get the book ready. Actually, Pelumi's phone spoiled. That's why we couldn't get it ready. So please fix his phone now. Hallelujah. Get up on your feet. Say this with me. Jehovah God is my Father. And Jesus Christ is my hope. My hope is the Lord himself. The Lord cannot be weak. The Lord cannot be tired. So my hope is not weak. And it's not getting tired. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my song. The Lord will keep me going because it's my hope. I have a hope and I have a future. I'm not frustrated. Neither am I bored. Because I have a hope and I have a future. Day by day, God is making my path to shine brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. I may not see it, I may not feel it, but my hope is at work. For he who began a good work in my life will never stop until he's finished it. So I trust the author and the finisher of my faith in his strength. I speak, nothing shall be impossible. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's share the grace together. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God. Tell that person next to you, surely goodness and mercy. Okay, prayer meetings, Google Meet, Thursday, next week. All right. Nothing from this week. All right.